desire to keep things rolling. I would like to get us started. And just a quick note, if the format we're using, the Zoom webinar, is new, it'll just be myself and Father Dine that will be live and speaking. And the rest of you, if you have a question, you can place your question by clicking the icon on the bottom Q&A, and then type in a question. And there's also a chat option. So those will be two ways of sharing thoughts, asking questions, interjecting. But we do want it to be as engaging as possible, but also as, efficient. So hopefully this format will be one that works well for what we've got going tonight, which is looking at vibrant men's ministry. So let's start with prayer. Father Dine, would you be so kind as to lead us?
Be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From one of the poems on the Meditations of Genesis by St. Paul, Pope St. Paul, John Paul II. In him we live and move and have our being, says Paul on the Areopagus in Athens. Who is he? He is like an ineffable space embracing all things. He is the creator. He embraces all, summoning to existence from nothing, not only in the beginning, but continually. Everything endures, is constantly becoming. In the beginning was the Word, and through him all things were made. The mystery of the beginning is born in with the Word, is revealed by the Word. The Word, eternal vision and eternal utterance. He who created saw. He saw that it was good. He saw with a vision unlike our own. He, the first to see, saw and found everything a trace of his being, his own fullness. As we gather here today, we gather in the season of Advent. We gather waiting for the celebration of the Word who became flesh and will dwell among us. We ask that we may see with his eyes and not only our own. We may see others as he sees them and not as we might see them. We ask that we might stay close to the Word who brings us the promise of everlasting life and the joys of Christmas. We ask that Mary, who is the first to see the Christ child, the first to feel the Christ child, may also be with us and care for us as a mother does. As we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome, and welcome to everybody else.
And for those of you in on this webinar that are unfamiliar, Father Bill Dine is the chancellor amongst other hats he wears for the diocese. And so we'll kind of ask him to interject throughout, but in particular, as it pertains to the role of pastor. So that's going to come up in a bit. So I believe all of you in on the webinar were at the conference, and a heartfelt thank you. I think all of us left with a feeling of having been blessed that day, and that was possible not because of any individual, but because collectively there was, I think, a spirit of receptivity, a spirit of longing that we talked about for this Advent season, one of wanting to be closer to Christ. And so that is what we want to discuss here tonight. So I think it's safe to assume that you're interested in growing closer to Christ, either individually or corporately, meaning that you are part of a parish and want to play a key role at bringing Christ closer to others, bringing others closer to Christ. So thank you. I want to just offer a theme for our time tonight, and that is relationship. And before you tune out of the webinar, I'm not talking about sitting around on cushions with yarn and burlap and talking about how we feel, but the fact that we are all made for relationship. And through my years of parish work, and I should maybe a quick introduction. So I have been blessed to spend the last 25 years in parish ministry, most of it youth, young adult, family, and learned a lot, I think as all of us do, often through mistakes we make. But the one thing that came out again and again in the ministry that I did in the parish is the key role of relationship. You know, first and foremost, that we are made by God, we are made for God. For those of you that remember the Baltimore Catechism, who made you? You know, God made me. Why did he make you? You know, to be happy with him in this life and the next, which speaks of that relationship. So the other thing that I want to point out is I don't plan on tonight being a focus on programs. I think often as we look at men's ministry, we start thinking immediately of what are the programs that are being used by other parishes. And we'll touch on that, but that's not going to be our focus. Instead, it's going to be focusing on persons, if I can speak that way, and principles. So one of the things that I did learn in youth ministry that kind of speaks to that is often I would work at creating a parish program and trying to get people to participate and attend. And then I would have an individual who attended a retreat, a conference, something where they had a profound encounter with Christ. And it was amazing how a heart on fire would propel itself in ways that no program could do. And not that programs aren't important, but it's that encounter with Christ and that relationship with God that was the igniting flame in the lives of both young people and adults that really caught my eye. And again, I learned through mistake. It took years, but I realized, you know what? I just need to get out of the way and be a conduit in a similar way to the Men of the Cross conference that we attended, that those of us on the organizing committee at a certain point need to just step back, get out of the way, and allow that encounter to happen, and praise God for the fruits that flow from it. And so hopefully what we talk about tonight will help you in your parish and your life continue to bear fruit and figure out how to even be more fruitful in the lives of others. So one thing that I think is worth noting is, why is it so important? I have received criticisms by some saying, you know, well, why focus on just the men? You know, shouldn't we be focusing on everybody equally? Well, if you look at it from the standpoint of getting the biggest bang for the buck, then you have to look at where is the key influence being made. There was a study done by Promise Keepers, which is an interdenominational men's ministry. I don't know if any of you had the chance to attend any of their functions. I did back in the 90s, I believe, and they were good for what they were. But here's what they found, that if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only 2% of the children will become regular churchgoers. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will be regular churchgoers as adults. If a father attends even irregularly, still between 1/2 and 2/3 of the kids are going to church on a regular basis as adults, meaning that it has lasting value. And here's, I think, also what emphasizes the importance of focusing on men's ministry. That if a mother does not go to church, but a father does, a minimum of 2/3 of their kids will end up attending church as an adult. In contrast, if the father does not go to church, but the mother does, on average, 2/3 of their children will not attend church. So therein you have the reason for why do we focus on men. And I offer this to you more so that you have that information to maybe counter objections. Because there are objections that I know are out there. Why are we focusing just on men? That sounds so patriarchal. And I think it's as simple as saying, you know what? We need to look at where the biggest difference is being made and not try to get into a sociological, psychological debate as to why. And I think all of us look to what's been happening in the news and can say, you know what? As men, we have failed. And therefore, we even more so need to be investing time and resources into helping men be who God has made us to be. So the role of the father in the faith of his children is huge. The other thing that I want to identify and kind of setting a backdrop is what is being called a Catholic man crisis. That there is a huge gap of fellowship amongst men. So there's a study done in the Twin Cities, and they were reaching out to men who were active churchgoers. And what they found is that men with strong bonds of brotherhood were 56% more likely to read the Bible on a weekly basis, 83% more likely to be a daily mass attender. And the numbers just go from there. But let's look at the opposite, that a surprise was that of these committed men who were in this survey, how few of them had a strong bond with other men. Only 16% strongly agreed that they have strong bonds of brotherhood with other men in the parish. 55% said they don't feel they have strong bonds of brotherhood in their parish. So when we look at that, it's important that we focus on men's ministry. There is a need for it. And from the standpoint of investing our resources, it has the highest rate of return. So here are some things to consider as we're going forward.
Just to back that up, Dan.
Yes, thank you.
And just to back that up, one of the major things that we focus on in priestly formation as well is that bond of friendship, that bond of, with other priests, so that's important there too, because if one of the things is a sign of a priest that's going to fail, if you will, of that's not doing well, it's not being healthy, is that they don't have bonds with their brother priests, that they're sort of a loner, they're out there on their own. The strength that we get from that brotherhood, Christian brotherhood, and but also the priestly brotherhood for the ordained, is very important. And that just reiterates what you're saying, as far as the Christian journey as well. It's fine to have the other relationships, those are needed as well, but there's something special or powerful about the bond of a brother, if you will. Mm.
Yeah. And I think all of us realize that we're not very good at it. I think it comes much more naturally to women. And I'm sure there will be studies that you could cite that would support that, but I know I feel that I am not nearly as good at that as my wife is. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Fireproof. It's been over 10 years since it was released, but there was a key line from there, and that was, you never go in alone. Recently, I was down at my daughter's graduation from basic training. And already in the military and basic training, I learned that she has a battle buddy. again, that idea that you never go alone. And yet in church, we somehow seem to miss that. So kind of one key principle before you really get started at trying to create anything or come up with a plan is that realization and that conviction of never going alone. And the first person that I think we should be inviting in with us is Saint Joseph and your guardian angel or patron saint. But to kind of first invite in that heavenly superhero, start there. The second person that I think you need to be in communion with is the man of the parish, your pastor. So, Father Dine, you want to speak to that?
Well, sure. I mean, it goes back to that basic relationship, you know, that is the theme of tonight, really, is, you know, either you're going to walk with, you know, just right now, just came to my mind, you know, that stupid commercial that's out there right now about, you know, Jacqueline's beef jerky or whatever. Either you walk with Sasquatch or you run from Sasquatch. But the same type of idea is that, you know, if you're trying to work against the pastor, you're not in relationship with him, it's probably not going to succeed. You're going to butt heads a lot and things like that. Even though, you know, the men might be trying to do really good things, if it's not in conjunction with the pastor. And that doesn't mean the pastor has to be involved intimately in every little detail and every meeting that they have and so on and so forth. But to make sure that you reach out and develop that relationship so that the pastor knows what's happening. And my experience in most pastors is that they're going to want to be involved. If their men are, you know, getting something going, they're going to want to be there with them. They're going to want to, you know, try to attend your Bible studies. They're going to try to do things. Now, the pastor's busy. He won't be able to make every one of them. But he's going to make it a priority if the men, you know, come to him and say, what's the best way? What is the needs of the parish? You know, that pastor has an insight that, you know, some other men may not have. So I think it's that the core relationship that has to be developed, you know, first is to make sure you have a good relationship. Yes, obviously with, you know, your saints, and obviously we have to invite Jesus into it, but, you know, in an earthly way, you have to make sure that the spiritual father's there too, so that he's not unknowingly working against you. You know, so that relationship is very important. And one of the things you said earlier made me think about, you know, when we start something, very often as men, my experience is that we start wanting to fix something. You know, we start wanting, Father, we've got a door over here that's broken. Father, we have, you know, the sidewalk over here that's not looking so good, or the paint in this room's not so great, whatever it might be. And we want to start with that type of relationship, goes down to who we are. I think even in marital relationships, we're the fixers. We want to do something. And I think we have to start not there, but we have to start with the relationship first. And again, that's one of the hard things for us to do is to, you know, just have that relationship with the pastor and with our brothers in Christ. That doesn't mean we have to go get all soft and, you know, like you said, the very beginning, wake up with pillows and sing Kumbaya or anything like that. But not just be focused on doing, but be focused on being with each other, you know, developing that relationship.
Right. You know, the one image that comes to my mind in terms of a band of brothers is Braveheart. You know, that type of solidarity with others through thick, thin, life or death. You know, one thing that comes to mind too, Father Dine, in terms of a benefit for any man thinking of having something going on at the parish level or even city level, that the pastor is going to be aware of things that no one person is. You know, I think it's a great case in point that I had been at the last parish for 18 years, and yet I was learning things from our pastor who had been there less time just because of his role and his communication with the other priests in the area. So
the privilege to be invited in places that unfortunately many of the lay people, as good as ministry as they do, just aren't invited. Because of our role, we're invited to bedsides. We know, I don't want to say secrets, but we know areas that people do keep a little quiet or whatever. and we're just invited into places that others sometimes aren't for some reason. And it's not because they don't like them or whatever. Like you said, it's the role that we have. We're invited, you know, both in the political type of realm. You know, we get invitations, you know, from other churches. We get invitations from other priests, and we just seem to get a broader knowledge of certain aspects. That doesn't mean that you don't know things that I don't know. That's very true. You work with the kids more directly, whatever, you'll hear things there as well. But again, it's about the relationship again. It's about going back to what is it that you bring and what is it that the pastor might be able to bring that you can't bring. And it's not the one's better than the other. It's just that we have different roles.
Yes. One of the things that was in the program at the men's conference is, I think, applies here, and that idea of kind of some guidelines. In fact, in the program, it's called the Maximum Impact Plan. And the first one we just covered, don't go alone. Second one, be rooted in daily prayer. And then the other three really flow into how we live out our Catholic faith. Weekly mass attendance, monthly confession, annual retreat. Some real staples for helping us foster our own relationship with Christ and His church. So be in union with our pastor. You know, and as Father Dine mentioned, you may not have a pastor that can be an intimate part of what you do for men's ministry. But I would invite all of you to ask the pastor one thing. What can we hold you in prayer for? Or what are your prayer needs? So to be on a regular basis, finding out what's going on so that he knows that as a man, he is supported. He has needs as we do. Yes, they are like professional prayer warriors, but they need prayers just as we do. So that would be in addition to sitting down and finding out practically what's happening from your pastor. Take it to that next spiritual level and find out, Father, what are your prayer needs? You know, what can we do to hold you in prayer?
I don't know a priest that wouldn't love that question.
Yeah, amen. You know,
I would carry it one level further as you develop a men's group, though, too. I do it with families and other things, too. There's no better way of developing relationship than to, in prayer, when you're doing public prayer in a small group or even a little bit bigger group, to do two things. The thank yous and the helps is what I call it. I always tell people who are struggling to start a prayer relationship with Christ and have that relationship spread to their family. And you can say the same thing about a men's group or whatever. It's if you sit down and have verbal prayer where you're asking, thanking God for the blessings in your life and asking God for the helps that you have right there in your life, you'll end up sharing some very intimate things. And I'm not telling you to share private things, but you'll share things that, you know, help to develop that relationship. Oh, I didn't know, you know, you were struggling with that, or I didn't know that there was a need over there, or I didn't know that you did that so well that you're thanking God for it or whatever. So you just welcome people in, and it's a very natural and a prayerful way of starting that relationship.
You know, a sad instance comes to mind in terms of, I guess, as a story of needing to be more involved in people's lives, but not in a way that we're invading privacy. But recently I was in the kitchen. It was a big fundraising event, and just chit-chatting with a man who I thought I knew, and come to find out he's facing a divorce. And, you know, my heart just drops, and I was kind of speechless. I was so dumbfounded, you know, kind of angry with myself, that thinking, you know, I should have been more aware or whatever. But that to me was a practical reminder. And I would bet a lot of us have that same thing where something just blindsides you and you ask yourself, why didn't I know? And I think the reality is that it's culture, a culture within our church too, that we haven't learned how to share our needs. So again, relationship. So let me put another word out there for you, discipleship, which I think brings together what we've been talking about, that whole idea of a relationship with Christ, following him. And as we talk about the idea of having a men's group and different ideas that are in your mind, I just want to give a three steps to keep in the back of your mind, that in the process of becoming a disciple of Christ, in other words, an intimate relationship with him, most people are going to move through three stages: pre-evangelization, evangelization, and catechesis. Earlier, I talked about people being on fire. Typically, that happens within that evangelization, to where they are on fire and looking for ways to learn and do and grow. And therein is the catechesis. The pre-evangelization is something that often gets overlooked. Doing something that may seem secular, that may not seem at all connected to Christ, but it's relational. Because first and foremost, it has to be a sincere relationship, that I'm not just after you so that we get one more member to meet a certain goal. I'm after you because I want you to be happy, and I know that your ultimate happiness can only be found in God. And so I develop a friendship. And in that friendship, we maybe do things like playing softball, but it's genuine, it's sincere, it's real. And in that, for example, we had a young man that started a parish softball team, and it wasn't in a church league. We play in the regular city league, and his goal was that that could become a place where he could begin and end in prayer and have people encounter and other teams to witness the importance. So one great case in point was we had a particularly good game and overheard some of the guys from the other team as they saw us ending in prayer saying, "Hey guys, maybe we should be doing that." What a witness. What a witness. So the other thing to mention, in that discipleship, there's that pre-evangelization, evangelization, catechesis, and be honest to where you are and where the men are that you're reaching out to. And the other thing is, there is not a one-size-fits-all, just-add-water model, okay? You may hear that the parish next door has a That Man Is You group, and you think, that's what we need to do. Maybe, maybe not. You know, going back to the priests, the one great thing that they have is fellowship and learning of what's working in other parishes. I know there was a national program that really had some energy coming into our diocese, and a number of parishes invested resources to make it happen, only to find out that it just wasn't the right program for the right people. So there is no sure bet. So
right. Also, maybe not the right time. Yes. Maybe it is the right program. It's just that, go back to pre-evangelization, the parish or the people are not ready for it yet. They need to be nurtured on a different level first before they're really ready for that step.
Yeah. And keep those steps in mind, because you may start at one, move to another, and then realize that, oh, there's still a need for a pre-evangelization type program. So here are some things to consider, and I encourage you to do it with your pastor and with some others. Don't go alone. So identify kind of the who, what, and how. So who are you going to target? And be honest, where is your passion? If you're looking at a men's group, is there a certain subgroup that you feel passionately about? Maybe it's based on age. Maybe their commitment and involvement with the church. It could be marital status, meaning that you have underwent divorce and are reaching out to those who are struggling in that same area. Or it may be an area of ethnicity. But so identify who is it that you're targeting. What?
Don't be scared. I mean, sort of what you brought up at the beginning, why are we doing men only and things like that? You can't do everything. So don't be scared to to limit. It's, you know, you're not being selective or mean and saying, I'm not going to include you because I hate you or something like that. It's like, this is all I can handle right now, so I'm going to reach out to these people, and that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, so know your limits. Don't try to be Superman or Jesus. they nailed him to a cross. So the what, and that is, what do your men need? Are they, again, at that pre-evangelization where you're looking at things that you may not even think relate to leading somebody closer to Christ, but you're developing that friendship, that basic relationship? Universally, we all need to grow in our faith. And the amazing thing is that I think even priests who have went through a master's level type of formation will find that for the rest of their lives, they're continually learning more and being re-evangelized. So it's never a been there, done that.
Well, because it's a relationship, you know, we get transferred, we move to another thing. Like I said, it's not a cookie cutter Bible. It's about building that relationship, you know. So we have to start over every time we go somewhere new. And I think one of the words that, you know, is part of pre-evangelization is trust. We build trust with each other. You're not going to walk up to someone and share your most intimate secrets, and you're not going to walk up to them and share your most intimate feelings about the faith until you have a trust built up with them, and that's the building of the relationship. Once you have that trust, then all of a sudden you're willing to risk a little bit, and that's really part of what pre-evangelization is about, is to develop a community of trust where you're more and more comfortable sharing things that are deeper and more, you know, more close to your heart, that, you know, if it's taken the wrong way, might hurt a little bit, whereas, you know, when you first meet, you're not ready to do that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talked about at the Men of the Cross conference was participating in a 30-day challenge. And I know of some men that did that. I myself participated in the Men Rise Up. It was a 30-day video, but you so each day there was a 2-minute video. Chris Stefanik, who, if you weren't aware, actually worked for the Diocese of La Crosse not too long ago, but he is one of the main teachers. So about a 2-minute video sharing. You know, it's not catechetical. It's reflective, relational, and then a challenge. But then that whole process is done in union with one or two other men. So I reached out to a gentleman from our area. He hadn't even been at the conference, but we had connected because our children are in the same grade in school. And I knew some of the stuff he was going through, and he had been asking some questions. And I thought, wow, this is a perfect opportunity. So on a daily basis, we were to call one another and spend, you know, about 5 minutes, basically just a check-in. What did you think of the challenge? And are there things going on that you could use some prayers for? Well, it fostered a relationship to the point that just last weekend, he and I were on a retreat together. And so it was an excellent starter. So kind of another thing to keep in mind is that you don't have to have something that is open-ended. You can be looking at something that is very simple, very time-bound. And at that retreat, I want to throw this out there because I'm now kind of just throwing out some practical ideas because I don't want to just keep it at a theoretical level. But I'm not a bourbon drinker, but one idea that was shared is a men's bourbon night. It's done very organically, that you reach out to some guys that you think enjoy bourbon and bring a couple different and kind of be bourbon snobs for the night, you know, sample and compare and talk about it, but then also to have some content. And the content is going to be determined by who are your men. You know, if it's a group of men that are daily communicants, well, then maybe you are looking at the upcoming Sunday's gospel and really getting into a serious scripture study. If it's guys that may be Christers, Christmas and Easter Catholics, then it may be something fairly light where you read one passage and talk about it. But the draw was something that I never thought of, and I'm more of a beer drinker, I like beer that has been aged in bourbon barrels, and so maybe I would be inclined to do a craft brew type of thing. Our most recent associate pastor actually homebrewed. I don't know if I should say whether or not that ever happened in the rectory, but anyways, he was a homebrewer. So that is something that is popular and trendy that you could tap into, pun intended, and use as a format of reaching out to men. So having said that, don't be too program-centered insofar as the mechanics of the program become all-consuming. Always go back to that relationship. That, first of all, we're forming friendships where there's a level of trust with the desire of that individual, that group of individuals, ultimately having a relationship with Christ and his church.
Programs are really meant to, in my mind, are meant to make up for what we may not have comfort in ourselves. So, I mean, we look at it and it's a tool, it's a support to us, but if it's only program and not relationship, not, you know, if we're not willing to say, that's not working for us, we'll do this part of it, but not that part of it. I mean, it's really to bring us something that we can chew on, if you will, but it's not meant to guide us completely.
You know, in the, again, going back to the men's conference, in the program, there were 7 simple steps for starting a men's group. And we've been hitting on those, and I want to just kind of finish it out. And that is prayer. That we've got to begin with prayer and discernment and end and do everything in between in a spirit of prayer. And be in union with our pastor, praying with and for. Then practically, what we need to look at is the meeting frequency and length. And be real. You may decide that, you know, I'm just looking at having one gathering, or I'm looking to meet weekly. But that's something that in prayer and reflecting on your individual gifts, limits, passions, you need to look at meeting frequency and session length. You also need to determine the location that best matches the group. Is it at the church? Is it in a home? Some other place? There is a very common, a very popular young adult outreach called Theology on Tap, and they meet in a bar. It I think got started in the Chicago area, but it is nationwide, and so that would be their location of choice, actually in a bar. And I know some people would never do that, but realize that there is no one size fits all. So within each gathering, begin and end with prayer. And Father Dine had talked about that idea of being thankful, asking people to offer petitions, and spend a time praying with each other. It doesn't have to be long and exhaustive, but the importance that there is that level of trust and you have the back of one another, that is so crucial. Only in that trusting relationship will guys be able to reach out and say, you know what? My wife just walked out. What do I do? Whatever the situation is. Have in progress at all times some content. And again, match the group. It could be a scripture passage. It could be an exact Bible study. It could be a book. And then relax. Enjoy. Enjoy each other, enjoy the spiritual journey that you're on, and try to maintain that balance of social, service, and spiritual. Father Dine mentioned earlier that as men, one of the things we'll often come to the pastor for is what can we fix? You know, what can we put our hands on? And so service is a great way to reach men, but make sure it goes beyond that. I had one man that when I was asking for parishes that had a men's group, the pastor said, well, we have our, now I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it basically was the Building and Grounds Committee. And said, you know, that's a group of men, and add a spiritual component to it, help them become disciples. Awesome. So having said that, you know, the building is ground. Don't restrict yourself to thinking you have to start something new. There may be men's groups already in place. You may have a Knights of Columbus. It may be vibrant. It may be dead. They vary all over the place. Pray about it. You know, if the council where you live is in need of life, maybe God's calling you to bring that life. Because all organizations have certain cycles that they'll go through. So don't take it off your list. So I mentioned earlier, you just want to, because I'm kind of going through a list of options, just for you to be aware of. In addition to the Knights of Columbus, there's also Knights of Divine Mercy. I'd mentioned RISE, that 30-day challenge. There's That Man Is You, which is an ongoing multi-year program. Exodus 90. This is something I just learned of, and I am looking into and praying about possibly doing it myself. And that kind of scares me. But it's a 90-day challenge that requires a little bit more rigor than a two-minute video. But it's something that I'm taking in prayer. And there's also, I don't think there are any groups in the area, at least in the diocese, called the King's Men. And that is more outdoors-based. So with all that in mind, I don't know if you've heard of SMART goals, but as you look at putting a plan forward, I would encourage you to set SMART goals. And S-M-A-R-T is an acronym that stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. So know yourself. If you're a type A person, this is automatic. If you're not, then it's not automatic. But if this is something God's put on your heart, and you're looking to be part of fostering vibrant men's ministry, then what you want to do is set a SMART goal, which again is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. And if you did a Google search, you would find loads of explanations for that, so you can read more. But it's a great way of making sure that the goals you put together are going to help you achieve what you hope them to achieve.
And don't think too big, if you will. I mean, don't think too small either, but give yourself time to grow into it. You know, don't set this goal, you know, sort of like even the men's conference. You know, we could look to our neighbors and say, oh, I want 3,000 people there. Well, we can get there if we give it time, but we can't set the goal for 3,000 right away. Let's just, you know, set it for something that's a challenge, but also reasonable too. So don't think that you have to have the perfect thing right away. Give yourself time to both fail a little bit and to grow. I mean, yeah. You know, go back to our Lord and, you know, the Station of the Cross, he fell three times. You know, if something doesn't work, say, okay, don't give up. Just pick yourself up and say, okay, that's not working. Why don't we try something else that might be more appropriate for this group? So.
Hey, Father Dine, roughly how many parishes do we have in our diocese?
159. That's how many we have.
Yeah. So let's even say 150, because I can do that type of math.
Sure.
But so, man, maybe your goal is thinking, I would like to bring a couple of guys to the next year's Men of the Cross Conference. If each parish had only three guys going, we would have record numbers. It would be over 450, because 150 times 3 is 450. That math I can do.
That math you can do.
But not 159. But something simple like that. So I'm glad you interjected, because make sure those goals are realistic, which is kind of one of the, SMARTs. And it may just be that you decide, okay, that's where I'm at for right now. Praise God. Because if we can have every parish represented by three people, I just gave you the numbers, that would be record attendance. And speaking of that, nothing can replace the personal invitation. The retreat I was at was put on by Men of Christ. They have an annual retreat with the numbers around 3,000. huge. And yet their emphasis is a tapping, meaning that just tap one man on the shoulder, invite one man at a time. Similar to that, in preparation for this year's conference, we use this image of the man train. Similar idea that you just hook up to one man who hooks up to one man, and nothing can replace that personal invitation. And then also keep in the back of your mind, what is it at the end of the day, ultimately, that you're inviting them to? Because you know it's more than just an event. It's a person. And therein we come kind of full circle, that relationship with God. So want to offer you some ideas of how do you sustain that energy, the group, you know, how do you sustain it? I'm going to give you some questions to ponder. First of all, are men staying? I think that's a very good rule of thumb. Are the men that are staying inviting other men? Are new men joining? And then at the end of, I would call it every cycle, reevaluate. So if you're looking at some type of gathering initiative that is, say, six gatherings or a year long. So when that is done, spend time. If you're not in regular communication with your pastor, set up an appointment, meet again, pray, reflect, and then ask the difficult question. What can we do different? What can we do better? How can we be obedient to what God is asking of us? And then also, finally, remain faithful to that initial idea that God put on your heart. So don't lose sight of what was it that the Holy Spirit was prompting you to do. And don't beat yourself up. You know, I tended to be scrupulous in prayer, and I think I still have that tendency. And a very wise religious sister told me one time that just stop it. Because when you're beating yourself up, your eyes are no longer on Christ. They're on you. That's where Satan wants them. And the simple act of refocusing on Jesus is a prayer in and of itself. So when you fall, get up, put your eyes on the prize, keep walking towards it, and don't look back. There are some noteworthy helps that I want to point out. There is a newly formed Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. I'm not 100% sure if I have it correctly, but I will send out in an email to all of you that are part of the webinar tonight and probably beyond a link where you can sign up to be part of these monthly teleconferences. They are amazing. It's kind of like a condensed version of the annual conference in about 45 minutes. So that is a great way to help yourself. There is a book. So if you're looking at how do I get men's ministry really going, sorry about the glare, this book, No Man Left Behind, is something that I will give you. Just let me know. Because it is the most comprehensive resource I have ever found. And it covers what we covered tonight and a lot more. So it's something that will give you resources, tools, worksheets that can guide men's ministry in your efforts. So just let me know. I trust that all of you have my email, and I'd be happy to put one in your hands.
One of the things you were saying, Dan, is start small. You know, you said whether it's a year long, whether it's the best thing that we can do, both in our own journeys of faith. I always tell people this, to start small. You don't go and try to say, okay, I'm going to do a novena, I'm going to do a 90-day challenge, and, you know, start with something that can be successful very quickly. You know, start and say, you know, for this week, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to acknowledge God's presence right away. Same idea for men's ministry. Obviously, it has to be a little bit bigger than that. But you know, start with bite-sized things that you can be successful at, and then you can also review real quickly. And then one other thing that while you were talking, I thought about is also don't hesitate to re-invite. We all get busy with things and things like that. So if someone leaves, one, acknowledge that they left. You know, call them up and say, why did you leave? You know, is there something going on? Is there something we could do better that might help you to stay? Is it just the busyness of your life? Is it another time of day? Is it, you know, what might help? But sometimes we just get full of life, and we just need to be reinvited. Hey, we really miss you at these things. We'd love you to come back. You know, anything that, you know, I can make it to make it easier for you. You know, see what you can do.
Yeah. You know, a great example came to mind as far as starting small. I took a group to a Steubenville Youth Conference, and a number of kids had a profound encounter with Christ. And when they returned, one young lady decided, you know what? I'm going to take up a holy hour. So in Marshfield, we have perpetual adoration. And so she signed up for a 9 p.m. holy hour and invited friends to join her. And she, I'm pretty sure it was over 2 years, continued that commitment. But it really started very small. At first, she decided, you know, I feel convicted, and hey, I'm going to invite my friends. So start small and see where it goes.
We feed off success. So if we start big and we fail, we have a better chance of crashing and burning totally than if we start small and succeed. You know, the success will build on success, and all of a sudden you'll be doing more than you ever thought you could do. Whereas if you start too big, it becomes overwhelming.
All right. And one more item that can help us that I'm going to put out there. So this was the first ever follow-up webinar that we've had to a Men of the Cross conference. And we are still finalizing the details for a first ever Men of the Cross retreat. So the speaker at the conference that had the highest rating was Father Giuseppe. And I invite you to pray with me and with him that the intended outcome of that prayer is that he would come in February to our diocese to lead that retreat. So he is a deep man of prayer, but I am excited, as I'm thinking any of you that were at the conference would share in that excitement, that it will work for him. So because it's, what I say, tentative, we don't have dates or other information, but I encourage you to hold that in your prayer, because I think that that would be a great, great blessing to so many. And it would not be restricted to men that were just at the conference. You know, it would be wide open. So stay tuned. As soon as that information is available, I'll be getting it out to you, hoping that, and what we're looking at for a format is a Saturday morning to mid to late afternoon. It'll probably begin with Mass, daily Mass, and end with an anticipatory Mass. So we are rocking on the time. So Father Dine, I was hoping that we would be timely and under an hour. I don't see any questions. So I would invite you to
just a moment. You can pop in. Well, it's great to be with you, Dan. This worked out. This is my first thing like this. So like I said, you know, it's the first follow-up one, but for me, this is the first experience of using technology in this way. So I hope and pray that it was beneficial to all who attended. So.
Thank you for your interjections. It was a blessing to have you involved. So on that note of blessings, would you offer us your blessing?
In Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. We thank you for the gift of faith that we nurture in this time of Advent, this time of joyful expectation, where we look forward and backwards. We look backwards to the gift that was given, but we also look forward to the gift that's promised, the gift of the second coming and the gift of Christ in our lives that will bring us to heaven. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be in
Thank
peace,
you.
Brothers. Be in peace.
May you all have a blessed Advent and an even more blessed Christmas celebration. Look forward to being with you, hopefully on the retreat, if not before.